James Daugherty, who is our speaker on update in law, has been practicing law since I was 10. So he knows an awful lot about what he's about to give us a presentation on. James has been practicing municipal law since 1976. Until 1984, he worked for the city attorney of the city of Houston. He was an assistant city attorney in the city of Houston. Since then, he's been in private practice, mainly with local governmental entities, including municipalities, utility districts, local government corporations, special entities, and a municipal receiver. James doesn't know this, but he's been a little bit of a mentor of mine since I started municipal practice in 2001, and he's going to give us an update on case law. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much, Charlie. This is the second part of the talk that we started yesterday. Deliver it from the table here because I can better see the slides. There's a very intricate set of maps coming up that we need to look at closely to understand that case out of Dallas. But let's pick up where we left off yesterday. This is, we're on page 6 of the paper. It's the topic is regulatory takings and inverse condemnation, and we've got these three cases to talk about. The background here has to do with basic taking theory, that Lingle case out of the United States Supreme Court, where they very carefully gave us these four categories. There's the thing called permanent physical invasion. There's deprivation of all economic uses. That's a wipeout. Those first two categories are called per se takings. So if you're a plaintiff and you've got a takings claim, you're usually going to be trying to find one or two because your proof problem is easier. The third category is exactions. That's the Nolan, Dolan, Flower Mound line of cases. Kim Mickelson covered that yesterday. And that's sometimes more difficult to prove, but it's also sometimes called a per se type taking. Then your final category, the residual category, everything falls to the bottom, is the Penn Central. That's the interference with investment-backed expectations. It's a very difficult proof problem for plaintiffs because you have to prove these amorphous factors are present and you have to do weighing of factors. It's difficult to prove those kinds of cases if you're a plaintiff. Kim also mentioned yesterday about 212-904. You can think of that as a codification of Nolan, Dolan, and Flower Mound, but with a kicker. If you win, if you're plaintiff, you get your attorney's fees. But there's another kicker. It's an administrative procedure now. And we had a case last year in which the holding was that developers must follow it. Otherwise, they don't exhaust their administrative procedures, and they can be dismissed in court. Another thing that we've learned kind of in the background of this is that just having a contract, like a development-type contract or contract with the government, does not preclude the possibility of filing a taking claim. In other words, it's not one or the other. It's not contract or taking. You might be able to claim a taking anyway, even if you've got a contract. First case is it's the Golden Glow Tanning Salon. This is City of Columbus. It's not Texas. This is Mississippi, but it's a Fifth Circuit decision. And this looks like the Golden Glow was set up in a strip center there. Their claim was that when the city passed an ordinance closing certain businesses, not all businesses, but some businesses because of COVID, that they were singled out and discriminated against in violation of their civil rights, equal protection claim. The Fifth Circuit, you can almost see them giving the back of the hand to this claim. Because they first said, look, this is not a permanent physical invasion. This is not the Loretto case. This is not Category 1. And, oh, by the way, you didn't lose all economic value. It's not Category 2. Case dismissed. You lose. They had another claim coming up we'll hear about in a minute. The next big case is that City of Dallas versus Trinity East Energy. I think Art Anderson, by the way, is counsel, plaintiff's counsel on this case. He mentioned it yesterday, but didn't get too far into it. This is the second appeal in the Trinity East case. The first one had to do with just the effect of this mineral lease. The City of Dallas signed a mineral lease, I guess, for a lot of that shale land on city, I mean, shale gas drilling on city land. And it contemplated that they would get SUPs, or specific use permits, for drill sites. In the first appeal, the whole question was whether that lease was proprietary and therefore was the city not exempt or did it have immunity from liability when it breached the lease, because what happened was the city did not issue the specific use permits that were necessary for drilling. Now, on the second appeal, it gets back up, and let's see, it goes to trial.